This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks so much for taking the time to come on our show. Why don't you start, please, by introducing yourself and your business?
My name is Amina, but first of all, I want to thank you for having me on your show. It is an honor. My name is Amina Badar. I am the founder of Near Pure Nature and now another business, Pure One. I live in Ottawa for 33 years. I'm a mother of four, so I've been a mompreneur for 10 years now. Yeah.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amina, why don't you tell our listeners a bit more about the business itself? What exactly it does?
Well, we sell, we manufacture natural health products, which is basically herbal remedies. We have the natural supplements. Also, we have the skincare line, all natural. So we kind of take on the whole body. And it's a business that I've started just to kind of give you, I worked for Health Canada for 15 years. I'm a chemist. I play toxicology in terms of regulating food additives, contaminants, things like that for 15 years. So I had enough of regulating things like that. So I had an idea to actually break through, at one point, to offer something that's pure instead of regulating what's in it as a contaminant. Now I offer products that are free from contaminants, natural and pure.
Nice. And sorry, so how long has the business been in operation now?
Well, I had the idea 10 years ago while working at the government, but it's been in operational since 2017. Yeah.
Do you mind sharing with our listeners? That's pretty interesting, right? You've got the security of a job in the government, and to leave that to jump into entrepreneurship, was there something that triggered that or something you're willing to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. There were actually a couple of things that triggered. One in particular, when as a mom, always mothers want to do the best for their children, feed them the best food, vegetables. And then on the other hand, what I've been regulating, it was all the additives. And I see that contaminants and everything, additives, especially the colors. As a chemist, we had to regulate what is used as a colorant, flavorings, all these things. So that made me very paranoid about what I picked. And then at one point it was, I had to help someone, a young lady, actually 15-year-old that had cancer, terminal cancer. That was actually was a community work, and she was given 4 weeks to leave, and that was it. And then as I always been an activist, and it just, my motherly instinct awakened, and I just decided, my husband and I actually decided to look for maybe an alternative opinion or medical opinion. And then we found one clinic in the States that use natural health remedies. And fast forward, she survived the cancer. She was able to reach a 20-year-old and actually had a good life. And that's what made me realize actually natural health remedies work, and is always have there's an alternative to what I used to regulate. So that's where I was. That led me to actually create a company that offer nothing but what I learned through that process.
So you really turned something that was very tragic into something that was a positive in nature. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Because it was just, I never really, as a chemist, toxicologist, I thought that science, that was it. And that, medicine was the way, the end goal. And I believe so much in science and not so much on the natural health remedies until that turning point, until what I've seen as what I witnessed. So that's what made me realize, in fact, that nature offers so much potential. And less side effects, but at the same time, healing ability, if you trust it. That's what made me actually leave my job at one in 2016, yeah.
So it sounds like entrepreneurship was really the vehicle then for change. Is that over dramatic? I mean, you probably couldn't make that kind of change working for a large organization like the public service can be, but on your own, you're fast enough to maneuver around. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, because first of all, when I work at the government, I seen the great potential the government does, like Health Canada regulating stuff like that. But there's a free trade, and there's a trade. I mean, business has to go on, so it's a lot of things in a market that I do not believe personally to is consumed, but however, is everyone's choice and to use these products. So from working at the government at large, what I offered was actually an alternative and also education that comes with it. So the entrepreneurship was actually my own, inspiration of what I say, be inspired by the young lady who survived a cancer, terminal cancer, and to actually offer people what was as an alternative to the conventional medicine or conventional diet. Yeah.
Did you have to overcome when you started the business? Did you have a lot of people saying, questioning why you're becoming an entrepreneur, like why you're leaving the safety of that job? Did that come up at all, or was it generally pretty supportive? Because I hear both sides of that story. That's why I'm asking.
It's like, I mean, it was actually the most difficult. I mean, to me, it wasn't the most difficult decision to take, because I was always been an activist. Part of my job, I always wanted to help the people, and I had that great pride making a difference in the life of Canadians. And all of a sudden, my mindset has changed, and I found that I wanted to contribute to something different. So I made my decision, and that was it. But the greatest fear was coming from my family, and even letting know my husband that I wanted to quit the job and then start my own company. So people, even my colleagues, thought that I was mad. Something was going on with me. They offered me to take a year sabbatical to think about it. My husband actually offered me a ticket to go, because I'm originally from East Africa. He said, "Why don't you go home with other children? Just calm, just with a calm mind, you might decide what you want to do next." But I left my job before even. I took the ticket. I went away for 4 weeks, but I made up my mind. So it was a great fear, because especially coming a family of refugee that we came here as a refugee in Canada. So my mom believed that working for the government was just heaven on earth, and I cannot. So I had to hide for 6 months when I quit, till I tell her 6 months later that I actually, in fact, left my job. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, really interesting for our listeners that may be thinking of making that decision to leave their job. You're someone that's done it. And I should preface this by saying I don't encourage everyone to be an entrepreneur. Some people are not cut out for this. And I do try to make that clear during this podcast, because the purpose of this podcast is not to push entrepreneurship, but to educate about entrepreneurship. So is there anything that you'd like to pass along to our listeners, some of whom may be thinking of starting but are just unsure?
Absolutely, because the most important thing is, it's so, so important. Of course, you have to pay your bills. And entrepreneurship, to me, I see as, it's not just a great a bread earning way. Of course, eventually you have to pay your bills and things like that. But I encourage people, even that I coach right now, not coach, like mentor, to actually keep their day job and build their art and build their, and then experience and see how they can go forward with the entrepreneurship. And it's so, so important to, in fact, have a set of income on the side, whether it's a maid, a husband, or a wife, or anyone. But absolutely, it's so, so important to make sure that you have another set of income while you're growing your business. Yeah.
Years ago, I read an article that said that you should have 3 months set aside if you're starting your own business. I don't know how relevant that still is today, but I, if anything, maybe the number should be higher. But to me, it's more about exactly what you said. It's more about cash flow. If you have a life partner and that person is, making a significant amount of money and benefits and all those things, the odds increase that you have the odds are greater that you have this opportunity to go start a business versus, if you're on your own, as an example. Would you agree with that? That 3 months, is that still relevant, do you think?
I don't think that's relevant. In fact, 3 months is scary if I was to think that, okay, I have to produce the products. All depends on the business. For example, if someone has enough funding to start, let's say, a cafe, and they've set up, and they, of course, 3 months might be something feasible. But in my case, probably took a year and a half at least to find that I was able to make the business run. And it's still, like, even after, I don't know, close to 7 years, we still, I mean, it's always going, it's always reinvesting. So all depends on the type of business, and all depends on the person and the team, if they have partners and things like that. But it's very, it varies. It's, but 3 months, I find that it's definitely quite short to think that you will make enough cash flow to make your life, or I don't know. I don't think 3 months is quite enough.
I think it depends on which stage of your life you're at as well. You don't know this about me, but when I was in my mid-20s, I started a marketing agency. Mm-hmm. I was just married, but didn't have kids at the time. And okay. It didn't work out. But the burden wasn't so great because I didn't have kids at the time. I did have a mortgage and things. So, you know, I eventually went back to work. Then I started this marketing agency, you know, when I was 52 years old, completely different stage of my life. My three kids were all grown up. You know, mortgages paid off. So my expenses were completely different. So I think that also comes into play. Would you agree? What stage of life that you're at?
Absolutely, yes. Because you're absolutely right. Because it all depends on the stage. I mean, you don't have that much responsibility in terms of timing and stuff. But in my case, I was my children were young, and I, you know, mortgage to pay and all the things. I was the main bread earner as well with all the benefits. So I have to just completely let that go. But also, what I find, even, I mean, 3 months all depends on everyone and what you do. Like I said, all depends on that. Personally, the fact that you don't also keep that day job, put more emphasis and more, it's a positive stress sometimes that you have to do it, make it by all costs. So I really appreciated the fact that I didn't keep or didn't have a plan B. It's only plan A. You have to keep going. You have to really succeed. You have to make it. And believing in myself, because everybody can, anyone can tell you cannot make it. Oh, it's not the type of products that people like. Oh my God, you are going to fail. Because I believe that failure, in fact, is giving up. And the most important person is us. So if we give up on ourselves, I mean, or if we don't believe in ourselves, or we don't put so much trust, who else will believe us? So that's the most important thing. And no matter what I would say to any entrepreneur, whether they are starting, is we are the main person. It's always something that I repeat. Doesn't matter if I have a staff who give up at the last minute, just quit on me. It always, like, if it's up to be, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. So taking all the, wearing all these hats and make it work, and always keeping up, never giving up. That's what I believe. Yeah.
That's great advice. Listen, I want to get into a little bit about the products that you sell. Mm-hmm. Are they sold just here in Ottawa? Are they sold nationally, internationally? What does that look like for you?
When I started was in Ottawa only, in few stores that accepted to bring in that product. But now we are, I believe, over 300 stores across Canada. It was something that the funny thing is, like, to me, it's, I don't ask, I do. I see the products, I went to straight up to the store. I remember it was one store, Terra 20, and I say, I have these products, and I'm like just starting this business in my home, and what do you think? And they would just welcome me. Okay, oh my God, here. But of course, I got a lot of rejections. But, and people later on told me, like, oh, normally when you start a business, you have to start online. And then when you succeed online, then you cut in stores. But as I never asked, it just, so it's still, I mean, it's kind of funny because up to now, online store is only probably 2% of our sales. Jeez. 98% of our sales is just across Canada. So, yeah.
It's a good thing you didn't know that, because who knows what the business would look like today if you would have just started online. It's probably be further behind than you are today. That's a great story.
Yeah, I know, because it's but the thing is, people ask and you read a book and you have to always build that business plan. To be honest with you, I just probably after almost 10 years now, we were building our business plan. So we have to change it all the time. And because it's funny, because the market is always changing, things are always moving. And the type of products, like you say, that actually we carry as natural health products, like I say. So mainly people also are distributors. For example, let's say you are all over the place. But there is always a market for everything. For example, the skincare is a very competitive market. And then our supplements, sometimes we believe in certain supplements will sell. And we have to adapt all the time because COVID happens and things happen economically. So it's always something that we have to completely adapt and change, and with the market, with the people. And things that sometimes products that we think that, oh, this will foresee a great sale, unfortunately do not make well. And those we belittle, we say, okay, these will not sell at all because too many competition or this and that will outsell. So it's a very interesting market, but that's entrepreneurship.
So how many products do you have in your product line then?
Right now we have, under New Pure Nature, we have about 19 different products. And with the Pure One, the new company that I just created, it has about 8 products. And we realized that capsules sell more. But the thing is that what I find interesting is when I came to the market, it was only one product. It was a Moringa. Moringa is known as not nature's, you know, wonders. Like it's a plant, one leaf. Does not taste good at all. I've been using while I work for Health Canada. I used to wear glasses. I've just seen a great health change while consuming it. So it's like, why not offer? Because we used to order from the States. And then here we put on a market and not a lot of people like the taste, but somehow people kept, it wasn't candies. It actually does not taste good at all. But people kept buying, and we have to introduce them. We have to educate, and we were at every trade show that we can hear across Canada. We'll travel, and then up to now, it's a great seller. And then we have this competitors, multi-million-dollar company that copied us. But unfortunately, they do not comprehend that certain processes that I use because of my background working for Health Canada, And then at one point, it was just that they were sharing the market, and we were actually very, was actually alarming, because that was the only product that we were carrying at the time. So I have to put my face forward and my story. So a story sells. So when people know your story, why are you up there? It's not just to make money. It's because you really want to make difference in people's health. And that's actually, that became our strength. So putting my face on now, it's coming out with a face on my products. And it's kind of funny because recently my daughter was in pancake mix, and I was looking for Aunt Jemima pancake mix, and I couldn't find it. And I was just all this because they changed the packaging and I remember buying this product because of, I thought that Aunt Jemima was more related to me as a mother or some person. So I feel, okay, I trust that face. But now they took the face, it's just another product. So that's what we use, that actually, a story on our package. Now my face and all and brochures will have my story. So that's how we beat the competition across Canada, yeah.
Was that a tough decision for you? Because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, they don't want to be, they want to be the face of the brand, but they don't want to be the face of the brand, if you know what I mean. So was that a tough decision for you? Or you right away said, you know what, this is what's going to make us different. Let's just do this.
Actually, it was the toughest decision to make. My colleague, my husband kept telling me, okay, you have to put your face. But I always been a shy person. And, you know, it's always like, okay, I'm a scientist. I'm not that face. I'm not a salesperson. So it was actually really tough. Decision to make, specifically when I've seen the competition and we have our products and they undercut the price and they put more capsules, let's say, in a bottle for less. So at that point, it became a survival. So I became obliged to put my face, not mainly in the packaging, but we were putting the brochures and my story, who I am, what's behind this brand, what I stand for. And that actually make a great difference. So people, even the people, the staff in stores that have never met me, know my story, and they share the story to customers. So that actually became our greatest power and a greatest strength actually as a company. Yeah,
it makes sense because big brands cannot do that; they just can't.
No, it's they just actually basically what I've noticed because we are part of a association called the Canadian Health Foods Association, and then we have this B2B, and all this organization will come and look around and see what sells and what's the biggest, I mean, the new, the next shiny object or something that they will go and copy because they have the money and they can allow themselves to copy, and then she see if that stick. And the thing is that unfortunately sometimes they come and go, and I'm happy to say that 10 years later we're still around. So it's resiliency and to be there when you, and for me, I believe that it's not just interpreted to make money. Money is a great, I mean, who like money, but the passion to help. Money comes with it when you are helping people, when people are very grateful that actually that their health got better, or they feel better, or they have more energy. That's actually the greatest reward when I hear that. And that propels us, that gives us, makes us run the extra mile to be there for the people. And like I say, if you're there for the money, for example, I had a friend of mine who's a dentist, introduced me to this guy. He said, oh, this guy will help you. He can be your mentor. And he asked me, why did you pick Moringa? It's very, no one likes this. Why would you get to the CBD oil or CBD stuff? For me, it was not CBD. It was how, you know, make convince people and educate to use something that is not, doesn't taste good or not conventional, but to better your health. So that's what actually, to me, is entrepreneurship, is an activism at the same time to helping people. And money comes along and it's a great reward. Yeah.
So, very well put. Listen, we're almost out of time. Before I let you go, we've talked a lot about, you know, different lessons about, you know, making sure you have cash reserves and resiliency and things like that. But is there a lesson, if you had to boil it down into one lesson that you'd like to pass along to either an entrepreneur that may be struggling, a current entrepreneur that may be struggling, or someone that's thinking of starting a business? Is there one or two things you'd like to share with them?
Yeah. Believe in yourself. Be resilient. Adapt to any situation. Educate yourself. Read books. If you don't have a mentor, go on YouTube. There are a lot of people who are there, Tony Robbins and everyone. But the most importantly, be on that path. Enjoy the journey. It's a journey, but it's a tough journey, and it's a twists and turns and everywhere. But as long as you believe in yourself and just mute the naysayers, because people sometimes in your family love you and they want the best for you, but it's, you only know, your gut's feeling will tell you you're in the right path. And all these twists and turns are just a little scary, but at the end of the day, it's just like a roller coaster. And at the end, you win. And the most important thing, failure is giving up. That's what I believe. So that's why they say 98% of business fail in next 2 years. The first 2 years is because they gave up too soon. So never give up. Be on there for the long journey. And at the end, you will be happy about yourself or what you have done. Yeah.
Very good. That's great advice. Hey, before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about your products and websites, socials, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, you can check us at Nia Pure Nature, Nia and NiaPureNature.com, and also Pure1ONE.com. That's where you can find our products, and otherwise in every natural health food stores in Canada. So just ask for Nia and they will indicate, I mean, they will show you our products. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Pat. Appreciate having me.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.